Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OVS First Half 2016 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stefano Beraldo, CEO of OVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to the communication regarding the half year results. As you might have seen from the press release, which has been released yesterday, I think we had a good six-month period in spite of the unfavorable weather. This has been a general issue which characterized our industry with the month of May, which has been horrible, weatherly speaking, very cold and rainy, and even worse on the back of a great May of last year. It was very difficult and challenging to remain positive against last year, and in presence of a very bad weather, this has not been achieved. Excluding the month of May, sales has been positive on all the other months. I think even more importantly, the company has proven to be able to react to unfavorable situation, combining the other element and the other tool we can use, like cost as usual and franchising, which helped a lot in this first half year. As a result of all of this, sales grew by 4.7%, basically thanks to the network expansion, which has been in line with our plan. As already announced, we planned to improve slightly our gross margin, and this has been done in order to be ready, if necessary, also to react with higher markdown in season, which we didn't do basically because we realized that the month of May was simply impossible to be counterbalanced by commercial reactions. The traffic was not there. People was not walking in the mall, and it should have been a waste of money to mark down aggressively, only because of trying to beat the unusual weather. As a result of this, the gross margin improved, and the good cost control generated a proper profitability for both OVS and Upim. EBITDA of 75.1 million, +10%, 10.9% compared to last year. EBITDA margin increasing 60 basis points compared to the same period of last year. 44.5 million EBITDA, 70 million higher than last year, also thanks to the improved capital structure. 12 new DOS opened during the period, in line with our plan, and 58 small stores, mainly kids in franchising, opened in the same period for a total of 70 stores opened in six months, something more than expected. A further market increase to seven market share increase to 7.2%, 20 basis points compared to January 2016, and 50 basis points compared to July 2015. In page three, the positive performance across all the lines. Basically, worthwhile to notice that the performance of Upim has been extremely positive, as we expected, on the back of what I could say now is a proven repositioning of the brand and the merchandising, which is giving an acceleration to the result of this brand, which still has not achieved the the peak of its normalized profitability, which we expect to be able to achieve in 12, 18 months from now. And if we look at the breakdown, say in page 4, the sales of 4.7 increase is imputable to DOS and to franchising, as you may see. And in terms of brand, the sales of OVS has been 4.3%, and the sales of Upim increased by 7.2%. But in terms of EBITDA, the growth of Upim has been, the acceleration of Upim has been very noticeable. EBITDA of Upim doubled as we expected, and EBITDA of OVS grew by 5.3%. In absence of the very negative May, EBITDA of OVS should have increased by more than 10%. In page 5, on the consolidated net working capital, there has been a combination of aspects which are somehow generated by our decisions. Basically, the higher improvement in number of opening of franchisee generated some increase in trade receivable, where the DSO is totally under control. The only reason for the increase is the intake, the new goods that we had to deliver to these new openings, which has been very material in terms of number and consequently in terms of quantity. As a matter of fact, the increase in inventory is more or less related to the growth of the network, and the reduction in trade payable is mainly due to the fact that from one side we have paid certain tails of last year order related to LED project, so there has been the settlement of certain payables related to the LED project which has been concluded last year, and also we decided with some vendor to reduce slightly some payment term to take better gross margin, better intake condition from some supplier that were particularly sensible to payable reduction in exchange of better cost of goods sold. In terms of CapEx, as you can see, most of the CapEx has been absorbed by new openings, as expected. Then we have another material amount of CapEx top line related, which has been 4.5 million related to refurbishment. And I'm happy to notice that we continue to have great results when we refurbish our stores, and we plan to enter in the future in a more aggressive plan of restructuring if we will finalize a kind of vendor financing also to support these refurbishments. And then IT and special project, another 4.8 million. In page 7, basically, July debt is in line with last year net financial position after 34 million of dividends. And basically, there is not a further increase because of this settlement of LID-related former investment, as I mentioned before. In terms of consolidated cash flow, besides what I already told, I think that I have nothing specific to mention. And in terms of outlook, we had a slow start in August. The figure from the National Association of Shopping Malls gave as a result of minus 10% traffic in the average of the shopping mall, and the total absence of rains penalized all the locations which are located near seaside. So people preferred to continue having sun bath this year, other than taking some day to go for shopping in the rainy days, which we missed. This is the only reason why a slow August, and it has been a very negative period also the first 10 days of September, with unusually hot temperature. I'm sure all of you, even the one of you that lives in London, are aware that a few days ago we had the hottest day ever since temperature has been registered in London, with 35 degrees, but all in Italy the same day, that was 4 or 5 days ago, we had 7 days ago, we had 32, 33 across all the peninsula. But the good news is that starting from 7 days ago, when the weather became normal, we started looking at very high double-digit growth. So if we will continue in the next days, according to the present trend, September will be a good month. So it is very early to make any final comment regarding the outlook of the second half, if not by saying that we don't see reason as of now to change our targets. In terms of network, we continued the expansion of new opening even in the first couple of months of the second half. So we are in line to have for the full year some more store compared to the number which I see having been included in most of the analysis. Our strategy clearly remain extremely focused on consolidating the Italian market, and this is proven by the fact that even this year we will open more than 100 stores if we include big formats, more than 30, 35, and small format franchising, maybe 60, maybe 70. So Italy remains a priority, but clearly international becomes more and more, as we announced, an important driver for our growth, and we want to be ready for the future expansion also out of Italy. First of all, I want to mention that all our like-for-like network is continuing increasing in terms of new stores, mostly in Spain and in the Balkans, with very good like-for-like figures. So we have an increase in the perimeter of store, and we have an increase in the like-for-like performance in all the geographies where we are present. And on top of this, we recently announced the investment into this vehicle that we call Sempione Retail, and a commercial agreement with Charles Wegele, which represent a super great commercial opportunity for our company in terms of internationalization, with a very limited financial investment, with a huge upside if we will be able to do what we plan to do in the next coming months and seasons. We believe that our strategy is appropriate, that we are continuing with a great level of discipline in achieving our results. We are strengthening our team with the introduction of managers, like the international manager, which is well established and integrated now with the company. The only problem is that, or the only peculiarity maybe, is that we supposed to force him to learn Italian, but this is not the case, because we are holding all the meetings in English now in the last 6 months, and I'm happy to notice that this company is able more and more to have even internally the proper approach and the proper competencies in order to be successful also out of Italy. We believe that we will continue to sustain our target and to achieve our target and to deliver to our shareholder still an interesting return. And that's it for my side. And we are ready for your questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Fabio Fazzari with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for taking my question. I have two questions. The first one is about the categories performance. If you comment about the performance of different categories, men, women, kids, maybe the teenagers offer. And the second one is about the new opening you made last year. If you can give an indication of, also roughly speaking, how much of the stores you opened last year are already profitable. Thank you.
Well, in the category, we never give too much visibility about the single performance, because otherwise we enter in a new kind of granular information. If we start today, we will continue to do ever, and it will add the complexity to all the conversation with you. But what I can tell you is that for the first time in the last 1, 2, 3, 4 semester, the women didn't was not the best performer. The best performer has been similarly kids and men, and there is a difference. In the kids, we slightly underperformed on a predetermined basis, if I may say, because we decided that in order to support the growth and the opening of a higher number of franchisees compared to what we expected, given that the kids has been following a life cycle in terms of order to market, which is longer than the women, for instance, and given that we buy with a very high discipline and we don't buy too much, the fact that we had more opening than expected caused us to shift some of our kids to new franchisees. This generated a negative impact on our like-for-like, which we evaluate about 0.8%. So as a result of it, kids performed like-for-like slightly worse, but nothing to do with the quality of the collection, but only because of this aspect that I explained to you now. Women performed less well compared to our expectation, mostly because the component of fast fashion has introduced with a slightly higher price compared to the year before. The market is not ready for higher prices, and in the same time we had competitors like Zara with lower prices in the market. So we adjusted it for the second half, and we are not facing any price issue. But in the first half, we had a couple of months where the component of fast fashion, which is something like 20% of the women collection, has been priced a little too high compared to the year before, not compared to the value given to the customer, but compared to the year before. This has been readdressed, and that's it. And as far as concerns the new opening of last year, I'm happy to say that all the new opening of last year generated the expected results, on average, something more than expected. And we never have, you know, our ramp-up is already zero. So the stores are profitable, and I would say that because of an initial effect, which is super positive and then get normalized across the month, they are, if I may say, even more positive in the first month than moving forward. So, but they performed in line or better than budget, and the average sales density of the newly opened 2015 store is slightly higher than the average sales density of the company.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Just three questions from my side. The first one is on the market condition, and have you seen any significant changes in consumption demand, let's say in the last 2-3 months, and more in detail, what was the overall market trend according to the most recent information you have? And the second one is the strategy to consolidate in the Italian market. During the June conference call, you talked extensively about Combipel. Do you have any update on the process that you can share with us? And finally, my last question is on kids. Just a clarification, you mentioned the minus 0.8% impact on like-for-like. I was wondering if this is related to just the kids category or this impact is on the overall group like-for-like growth. Restated for this, the minus 2.9% should be read as, let's say, closer to 2%. Thank you.
Okay. On the market condition, what we noticed during the 6 months is that the market was not recovering. So in terms of market data, still the market officially is negative by 1.5%. This is the official data, and I never challenge the official data. Like the trainer never challenged the referee, but to be honest, the month of May, according to the official data, made minus 3. We know that the month of May made much less than minus 3, because I spoke with my colleague from the other brand, and I tell you that unless myself, Benetton, Zara, Motivi, many other are a bunch of idiots, all them, they made a double-digit negative, so in that month. So I guess the official data is a little bit worse compared to what has been reported. Anyway, official data for the market, apparel, clothing market, Città Ricerche, minus 1.5% in the first 6 months. In the next 2 months, the market has still been negative, and this has been driven by weather. So if in the first half weather has been impacted only 1 month, in the second half we had also August and the beginning of September negative. In terms of general mood, I don't see a consumer which is crazy for simply the pleasure of buying. I see a consumer still prudent and very careful in looking at the combination of price and quality before buying. So market, I would say, slightly negative, all in all. Then about the consolidation, you mentioned Combipel, and you asked me if I can give you any visibility on where we are with Combipel. What I declared 2 days ago when I explained why we decided to take a minority stake in Charles Wegele, and I answered that it was a combination of two reasons. One was the need to be prudent and to reduce the risk, given that we have been able, in any case, to have a great visibility on the potential final integration of the company once our business plan will become more visible. So limitation of risk and great optionality to create value. But the second reason was that I wanted to keep my ammunition ready for other opportunity that the market might generate. And clearly I was referring even without mentioning to Combipel, we had discussion on Combipel. We still have an interest in Combipel. The discussion has been put aside before summer because of a combination of aspects. I was very clear in the price. We will never pay a price that we don't think is appropriate, even compared to our value, and this generated a slowdown in the discussion. I think that the opportunity is still there, and I cannot comment anymore. The opportunity is there, and we continue to be interested to consolidate the market. We know that if we buy that company, or if we take that company over, there will be an amount of synergies that is material, which will be more than sufficient to justify a move, but everything has a price, and everything must be done with a lot of consciousness and discipline. Don't forget that it took 2 years for me to buy UPIM. The first time they asked me 240, and then to 1 year. And 1 year after, I paid for the same company 140. So we are still here. On the third question, maybe I made confusion. The story is very simple. All in all, the goods that we moved from destinations that were the DOS to destinations that were franchise store generated all in all a 0.8% lower like-for-like. 95% of this is imputable to kids because 95% of this new opening were kids. So you might say that our 2.9% once excluded this 0.8 generated by our decision to leave the DOS with less stock in order to be able to privilege new partners that decided to open under OVS Kids brand, the real like-for-like has been more or less 2%. And to complete this aspect, if you really want my total kind of breakdown of the like-for-like, as you know, given the high number of opening, we have an average of 0.8% of overlapping when we open our stores on the existing stores. So there is a cannibalization of 0.8. As a matter of fact, we have our internal analysis data point that tells that the real like-for-like this year, once excluded, the stores cannibalized by new openings and the kids' franchising store opening has been more or less minus 1%.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
The next question is from Sally Xi of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. In your release, you talked about gross margin is improved due to relocation of part of the purchasing to lower cost countries. Can you update us on what percentage of the total sales is now sourced from the low cost countries and what countries have you gone into specifically? Thanks.
Basically, what happened is not that we are moving versus low-cost countries a portion of sourcing that was European. What happened is that we are moving mostly from China to Bangladesh. This is what enabled us to continue improving the intake. We have today about, I would say, 90% of our sourcing coming from low-cost countries. The real game is to be able to move from one low-cost country to the other. And given the cost increase that we experienced and that the country experienced in the last years in China,
mm-hmm.
and given that we had a very good footprint of suppliers in Bangladesh, what happened is that the Bangladesh suppliers are drastically improving their quality, and we are moving more from China to Bangladesh. I hope I answered to your question.
Great, thank you.
The next question is from Simon Irwin with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A few quick ones for you. Firstly, can you talk about the percentage growth rates between retail and franchise? Secondly, can you just talk a little bit about your inventory levels at the end of the quarter, and particularly your kind of clearance rates post quarter, as to whether you know your inventory is now clear or whether that was slower in August? Maybe you can just give us a flavour of what you're seeing for input costs for next year.
For which costs, sorry? For
input costs, buying costs.
Okay, thank you. Maybe somebody help me with the ratio, because I don't remember the ratio between... So the DOS increased, purely in terms of percentage, what we exhibit in the picture tells that we increased the sales of DOS by 2.2%. I make the calculation. And the sales of franchising by 25%. This is what happened in the first half. And there has also been some closure. We closed some UPIM, some of the old UPIM, non-performing ones. I don't remember how many. We closed four out of 99 UPIM, big format that we had last year. We closed four of them. They were big and poorly profitable, inefficient and not strategic. So we feel that now with the 95 store that we had the full format, we are fine. And one good thing that I want to mention, I take the opportunity to mention, the reason why UPIM, sorry if this is not the question, and then I come back to your question. The good thing about UPIM is that with this network, all the newly opened stores of UPIM, including the five or six that we are opening this year, they are achieving more than 20% store EBITDA. So it's interesting to say that UPIM is now really the mix of the old stores that has been repositioned and improved, which has a store EBITDA between 10 and 15%, and the new store, which has an EBITDA store of more than 20%. This is why I reiterate that by continuing developing UPIM now, the average profitability of this brand will continue improving. And coming back to the second component of your question, the inventory level. Well, the inventory level has a rotation, a turn, which goes from 2.4 to 2.41 in OVS to 2.46. So it is still improving in spite of the difficult May. The improvement should have been much better according to our plan. Unfortunately, May didn't allow us to improve more. And UPIM is improving as well from 2.1 to 2.2. So as a matter of fact, the total stock turn, which is not our best KPI, and which is a KPI on which we are continuous working, is moving up from 2.3 to 2.4, in spite of the difficult season. And it is also generated by the good performance of the key openings. I don't see an issue with the inventory. if May should have been better, we should have been happier. But we don't have an inventory issue at all. And to be honest, thanks to Wegele, I think that we have a great appetite for all the inventory, because our plan is to use Wegele in the very beginning, in the first month, also as a network that will take a great advantage during the final sales for generating cash, and they will have a huge appetite for old goods. And as far as concerned the third part of your question, we are noticing that the only negative, if you want, is that the cotton cost is starting increasing internationally. Still, we don't have any evidence of this in our spring-summer buying, which has been secured, and at costs which are a little bit lower compared to last year. So we continued with the trend of lower cost from low-cost country in the first half of 2017. I guess that maybe in the second part we will start having some increase in the cost of the goods sold for the second half, mainly driven by cotton, which likely in the second half is less important. And all in all, as a positive headwind, I would say there is a reduction in the transport cost, which is compensating this trend. If I have to say what I think, all in all, in the next year, I think to a stable intake margin. Then obviously the markdown will be the final result of the quality of the assortment and the appetite of the market. But in principle, a compensation between negative and positive wins for next year, I expect, on the sourcing.
Okay, thank you very much. And just if you go ahead with CombiPal, is that going to put a strain on management? I assume that you and Perrine are going to be quite busy with Charles Vogelé. Can you manage effectively two reasonably sized acquisitions simultaneously?
The answer should be elaborated, because to say yes in a second might seem arrogant, but the answer is yes. And the reason for this is that CombiPal, if we have to buy CombiPal, the question will not be to integrate the culture of a company into the culture of another company. And also will not be to transform a company into a subsidiary. It will be simply a game of converting stores in the domestic market that we know better than anybody else, and to downsize headquarters, which we did already six, seven times in the last 10 years. So the answer is yes, and the last rationale for this answer is that a material amount of this store will be converted into UPIM. And the team of UPIM is different from the team of OVS. There is a different general manager, different retail area manager, different business analysis. Then as far as concerns Charles Wegele, even in this case, it will not be, the question will not be to transform or to integrate different business models, etc. The question will be transformation of a company into a subsidiary. I know that by doing it, maybe we might lose some peculiarity, some point of excellence maybe, but the advantage will be that the business model adopted will be our business model. The planning will be our planning. The area managing will be our area managing. Obviously, there will be some differences to be respected at the level of commercial policies. They have a different commercial calendars. But all in all, I think that the CombiPal conversion will be really be easily managed by my team.
Right, fine. That's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Marco Baccaglio with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question on the acquisition of Charles Berger in Switzerland, if it's possible. And the question is whether Sempione Vehicle has financial capability to support a potential increase in the bid price, because it seems to me that the operation is extremely interesting for OVS on one side, but the price that at which you have launched this takeover is extremely unappealing, or let's say pretty much in line with the price of the stock. So I was wondering, and my feeling is that it would be a missing opportunity if the deal does not go through. And secondly, I read in the document that you are taking the deal only if you reach 70%. And so I was wondering if there is a waiver that you can apply for that, or if you would be keen also to accept a lower amount.
Okay. So I like your question very much, because it means that you like this acquisition. So the answer is that, first of all, the Swiss press, the financial Swiss press, and the retail and the apparel Swiss press has been unanimously recommending the shareholders of Charles Berger to sell. Somebody told the last chance. Then the two analysts, Vontobel and Cantonal Bank, said, yes, accept this offer because it's the last opportunity to have liquidity. And the last recommendation from Vontobel was 5.5. And the press described the story of Charles Wegener, that was a huge company with a market cap of 2 billion 10 or 15 years ago, I don't remember, as the history of a disaster of a mismanaged company, and recommending again to accept this offer because the management, they said, has not the capacity to fix the company after continuous, I think, 10 years of losses. So I do believe that given that the company is not making money with its own business model, and the only possibility for the company to make money is to change business model and to drastically cut the overhead, and the cut is not possible without an industrial synergy, like in our case, because we will totally replace their product development cost, which is more or less 40-50% of the general overhead, with our existing product development cost. Unless there is a counter offer who comes from an industrial player, which is, to my eye, really unlikely, there is not a great risk of a counter offer. In case a counter offer comes, we always have the possibility to meet, to sit down again among shareholders and to decide what to do. And I guess that if the question will be to invest 10% more, we will look at the situation. And we have such a value on this acquisition that we will maybe consider, but this is something that must be seen. And I know that there is a journalist among us now, so better for me to say that I will never consider to relaunch. But to be honest, there is no reason to think to this scenario. There is no a plan B for the company. There were claims in the market regarding the possibility that a company, which I avoid to mention, could have been interested to make an offer, but this company is now bankrupt. So I don't see really an alternative. The company doesn't see an alternative, so the board would not recommend any other offer. So I think that we will move with this price and we will finalize. In case we don't achieve 70%, we always have the possibility to accept a lower threshold. So I'm not concerned about this aspect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Paul Rossington with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gents. Apologies, I had to dial off the call for a second, but did you mention, while I was off the line, what actually happened to the first half gross margin, please? Sorry if I'm asking you to repeat yourself, but color on H1 gross margin. Thank you.
The gross margin, you mean?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. What happened was that, as declared probably 1 year ago, I supposed to be able to start buying this year, to buy for this year with a higher intake, which happened. So we had an higher intake, and the reason for an higher intake was basically that I wanted to create some buffer in case I had to use this buffer to sustain increased markdown, just to react to market general negative trend or mistake in collection. But during the season, we realized that the real enemy has been one month, the month of May. And in that month, I decided not to waste too much of this better intake in further markdown, simply because the customer was not there. The customer was not having any appetite for price discount. The customer was missing because of rain and because of cold. So the result of it has been a better intake and not higher markdown compared to last year, which means better gross margin.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I think that we are fine. Seems that we are fine. Each of you can, as usual, ask for a direct contact with the two Nicola, Tomasini and Perin. So for further questions that you might have, don't hesitate to call my team. Thank you for your attention and also for the kind support you gave to our acquisition that I think will enable our company to create a huge amount of value in the next coming seasons. Thank you.